If you've never been here before, there's a work going on. We've been talking for a few weeks now, operating from being seated with Jesus in heavenly places. We had a message, it was probably almost 2 months ago now, well, maybe a month and a half ago, from Pastor Ben. And during that service, during worship, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of movement, the Holy Spirit. And Ben declared to us when he got up to speak that we'd cross the Jordan. And many of you have heard this. Many of you have been here to experience this. And since then, the Lord began speaking to me about this scripture about being seated with Jesus in heavenly places. And one of the things Pastor Ben said was, we've crossed the Jordan and we're not going back.
That's right.
We're not going back. And so what the Lord has been teaching us and showing us, the idea of not going back means that we are staying seated with Jesus in heavenly places. We're staying in that position. Yes, while we're living here on earth, that is not an eternity verse. That is not a verse of, we're going to end up in eternity in heaven with Jesus. But while we're here on earth, we're seated with him. And because of that, we get to function from that realm. And I said that Sunday, the Sunday after that, I said, we have entered a new realm. And that's a very real thing. And many in this room are experiencing that. We're living that out. We're functioning that to the point where it's almost hard to keep track of everything the Lord's doing moment by moment. It's not, I said in class this morning, it's not a month by month thing anymore. It's not a day by day, or not a week by week thing. It's not even a day by day. It's almost like a moment by moment thing. What are you doing in this moment? And how do you want to use us in these moments? And so this yes, Lord message is all part of this. I'm going to start with just sharing it's an account in Scripture. It's kind of long, but we're going to just go through it verse by verse. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of how this specific word came about. So we're going to read from chapter 9 of John. We're reading almost the whole chapter. And we'll just dig into it. So as he went along, this is Jesus and his disciples. Jesus going along, just teaching various places, ministering to people. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And I underlined that and put it in bold. Pay attention to that. We'll come back. Hopefully we'll come back to it if I remember. But keep that in mind. If I forget, that, keep that in mind as we go through this account. This happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. We're his followers. We also are lights in the world. Keep that in mind. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. He came home seeing. So even in that moment, you know, it was much more for us to read here, but even that moment, the man said, yes, Lord. We don't hear that word at that moment, but he did what he was instructed to do. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I'm the man. How then were your eyes opened? They asked. And he replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eye. He told me to go to Siloam and to wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Simple as that. Simple as that. Where's the man? They asked. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. consistent, telling the same story just as it happened. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He's a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he now can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been born blind. "Give glory to God by telling us the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner," he replied. "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Tell what you know. You tell what you know. Then they asked him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" I love this. "Do you want to become his disciples too?" Well, this didn't set very well. They hurled insults at him. I mean, this is the Pharisees. These are religious leaders. These are the people Jesus came to tell the truth to. They hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. He said yes. He said yes. Now, he'd already said yes with his actions when he went and obeyed and washed in the pool of Siloam. But now he said yes. And what did he do? And he worshiped him. And this was the start. This was the start of his journey. This was the start of his journey. The start of our journey is to say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." I had this at the end of my message, but I'm going to share it now. Last week in this room, we had a young man that many have been praying for relentlessly for a long, long time. And at the end of service, he stood right over here with a group of people gathered around him, tears streaming down his face, just streaming down his face. And this young man grew up here. We've known him pretty much his whole life. He said, and he actually said this while tears were streaming down his face. He almost shouted it. At least it was louder than a whisper. But he said, "Yes, yes." Amen. And he came to our men's class this week and he said, I have a new mind. Amen. He's a living, breathing example. If anybody comes to Jesus, he's made a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. He's a living, breathing example because he said yes. He said yes. I tell you that right from the start because Jesus is still bringing salvation to people. He is still bringing people to himself in October 2024. It doesn't matter how bad the situation is, how deep the sin is, how dark or chaotic or messed up the person is, he's still saying yes. And he's still giving a new mind when we do so. So I'm going to tell some accounts that led up to this message. So there's been so many things going on, so many things going on, so many divine appointments set up anywhere and everywhere we go. So, oh gosh, just even knowing where to start. On August 13th, Sherry Hupp sent me a message, and she said, hey, did you remember to talk to Pastor Mark about us having the Tim Sheets Healing Summit here? And I said, no, I forgot all about it. We got that all set up. We ended up having the Tim Sheets Healing Summit here. He had it at his church. We live streamed it here, and I just said yes. When I found out about it, I just said yes. We're going to do this. So this was me just saying yes, not knowing really all that was going to be involved with it, not knowing what all was going to happen. We had it here, and a lot of people here. You sometimes wonder, how's this going to work? You're watching something on a screen, but yet Holy Spirit poured himself out upon us and he did things. And I've told many of you this since then. I know that that night something happened in me as they were teaching. And there was they talked about mantles being transferred and being deposited in God's people who are hungry for him. And I know that part of that mantle landed on me, and we're operating from this place of this new mantle of under, again, it's all about being seated with Jesus in heavenly places and everything that goes with that. So that happened. On August 15th, there's quite a few stories here. I'm trying to condense so that I'm not getting boring you with details that you don't really need to know about. So on August 15th, I'm part of a group in the county. It's an offshoot of the county mental health services organization, the Department of Health and Human Services, Mental Health Services. And I'm part of this group, and it's called a faith-based collaborative. And I've been part of this group since 2019. And so in 2019, when we started meeting, the whole idea of the group is for the faith community to be proactive in ministering to practical and spiritual needs of people beyond what the government does. Well, we all know God uses his people. Just look at the hurricane situation. You all know that God's people are way more productive than the government. So he's always raising up his people. So part of this faith-based group is we get to talk about real issues that affect real people. And one of the things that came up one of the very first issues we talked about in 2019 was in Columbiana County, there are no homeless shelters. There's no shelter in Columbiana County for homelessness, anybody that's homeless. And so we began, the group began investigating options. And so that was 2019 when that started. So just keep that in mind. So anyway, on August 15th, I went to another meeting of the faith-based collaborative, and I hadn't actually been there for a while for whatever reason. I wasn't able to attend some of the meetings. And when I got there that day, I met, there were two men there that I had never seen there before, and they're part of the Columbiana County Crisis Response Team. If there's a crisis in Columbiana County, this team comes together and they go out and see what they can do to just provide help and relief to whatever the crisis happens to be. And so I met these two guys. Well, toward the end of our meeting, the one guy said, we have a need that is very present right now. It was a very specific need of a man that needed health attention, but he had a situation that was preventing him from receiving the health situation, the health need that he had. And he mentioned a specific need, and he said, if anybody knows of anybody that can help meet that need, let me know. And I said, I think I know someone that might be able to meet that need. And so I got his phone number and then left. That was when we left. That was how that left handled right at that moment. At the same meeting, we talked about Columbia County was now signed up to be part of Care Portal. I mentioned this last week. The offering we take up the first of the month, we're going to give to Care Portal, and it's a network where a need gets placed, and we get an email saying there's this need in your area. Can you help meet that need? And it could be any kind of need. I need help. We have a young mom who's pregnant who needs stuff. And you know, we've been involved with Care Portal in Lawrence County before. So when I was very excited when Columbiana County was starting it, and so right on the spot when I heard that it was now up and running in Columbiana County, I told the lady that was overseeing it. I said, "We say yes. Sign us up." So those were two things that were happening at that meeting where I hadn't been for a while. So I was meeting with Pastor Ben that morning, and I had about an hour between the time that meeting ended and the time I was going to meet Pastor Ben. So I went. I was in Lisbon, and Pastor Ben doesn't live too far from there. And so I went to Dunkin' Donuts there in Lisbon, and I sat down for a while, and I just wrote down some notes. And so while I was sitting there, I thought, okay, I told that guy that I had somebody that he could connect with to meet this specific need that he had from the crisis response team. So I texted the person, you know, said, hey, we have this need. Are you willing to be, you know, somebody that might be able to answer that need? And there's somebody from here, and she said yes. She said yes. And so that was cool. So I thought, oh, that was productive. Like an hour ago, I didn't even know these people. Now I know these people, and they had this need, and now we have a need potentially being met within an hour. Within an hour, I thought this is awesome. This is, and I one of the things I wrote down in my notebook that day was faith-based collaborative, active faith is saying yes. It's saying yes. And again, you know, some of these things are practical things. You know, you meet someone's practical need, and then a door opens for us to meet sometimes their spiritual need. So that happened. So then I get to Pastor Ben's, and he plays this song that I had never heard before. You know, because what happens when if you get together with Pastor Ben, he's going to put music on and we're going to worship for a while. And so so we worshiped for a while, and the song says, and you'll recognize it as soon as I read some of these words. I'd never heard this before. Lord, let my life be an altar. Light up my lungs with your praise, because I can't breathe until you breathe. Seated with Jesus in heavenly places, his breath. It's your breath in my lungs. It's your breath in my lungs. I can't breathe until you breathe. So breathe on me. Let my life be an altar. This is the moment when winds meets fire. Come on in. Our hearts are burning with fresh revival. Blow again. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a holy wind. Whatever you speak is done. Whatever you touch will live. So I'm hearing these words. And I went back on my notebook later and I wrote down, whatever you touch will live. And while we were there, I told Ben, I don't know if he remembers this, I said, I got a message. I told him a little bit about the meeting I had been at. I said, I got a message to this some guy, because the guy that had the person who had the need, that had this health issue, I said, can I get this guy's name, at least his first name? You may not be able to give me his full name because of confidentiality reasons. I get it. Could you give me his name? Because I'm with one of our fellow pastors, and we are praying right now, and we want to pray his name. Because I just heard words of a song that said, whatever you touch will live. And this guy's situation was that dire that he needed a touch or he was going to die. He was going to die. And so he gave me his name. We prayed. And I thought, Lord, you're doing stuff. Just, again, this is somebody I just met an hour ago, and now we're getting to pray for someone he knows who has a not only just the other need, but now this need. Yes. One of the things I wrote down when I was sitting at Dunkin' Donuts, just contemplating just things that had already happened. This is actually still before I even got to Ben's, was keep saying yes. Keep saying yes. Keep saying yes. Keep saying yes. So I'm going to go through this list quickly. But so August 19th, this was 4 days after I was at Pastor Ben's. We went to a funeral for a friend, whole group of friends that we'd known this woman for years, and this church where we went, it's a very musical, very worship centered church. But they only played one song. They played one song, only one song. I was surprised. It was only one song, but it was important. So the song starts and it says, "Lord, let my life be an altar. Light up my lungs with your praise." And I leaned over to Connie. I said, "That's the song I was telling you about it when I was with Pastor Ben." August 25th, we come in. The worship team sings this new song. "Lord, let my life be an altar.
Amen.
Light up my lungs with your praise."
Amen.
Go to men's prayer. Sometime in there, I can't remember which that date Pastor Shane played this song. But he's not going to play a song before we pray. "Lord, let my life be an altar. See, the more we say yes, the more we keep saying yes, the more we're going to keep hearing. Pastor Ben said this in the Cross the Jordan week. Backdraft was the message where he said, pay attention to these things that you hear repeatedly. You hear repeatedly. A week later, we had the healing summit. Week after that, September 8th, I introduced the whole Seated with Him in Heavenly Places message. The next day at home, I've told this in several settings that I haven't told, I don't know if I've told it here, but the next day I'm sitting at home Monday after that, and the Lord said, make a little snippet video, just a real short video of that message about what it looks like to be seated with Jesus, what that means, why is that important. So I did, and the Lord said, send it to some people. To send it to some people. I did so. I sent it to a friend of mine that I went through my phone, and the Lord said, yeah, send it there. Don't send it there. Send it here. Send it here. And it just kind of told me where to send it. And I sent it to this one friend who I hadn't talked to for a long time. It's probably been several years. But the Lord had said to send it to him. He calls me immediately and says, do you know that... when you sent that, you probably don't know, but I'm dealing with oral cancer. And I recently went through surgery where they cut out half my tongue. And I heard the Lord speak immediately, said, get with him. And so I said, when can I see you? Now again, two things here. First of all, the video, doing the video would have been one of those things that I would think, well, that particular morning, I hadn't even had a shower yet. I don't know what I looked like. I know, it didn't matter, but the old me operating sometimes with Jesus in heavenly places and sometimes on earthly Jeff mode, I've been like, well, I got to get cleaned up and I've got to write down my notes and I've got to, and the Lord said, no, just send him a snippet. I didn't write down a note. I did the video without a note and just send it, and just did it because he said do it, and it was a yes, Lord. It was a yes, Lord moment. What was the second thing? Oh, so then, you know, again, when I'm on the phone with my friend, I didn't overthink it. I just said, when can I see you? He said, how about 2 days from now? It was the following Thursday. I said, okay, let's go down there. So we went down there, and we spent 3 hours together, had prayer together. This is a guy we've known for, I think Colin and I determined we've known him for at least 35, how old are you? 35, my daughter's 35 years old, because he and his wife, and we were in Lamaze class. We met in Lamaze class. And we've been friends ever since. And so I just said, let's go. We spent time together that day. He told me that he was getting remarried, and so he didn't invite me to the wedding that day, but he called me a week later and said, "Hey, I told you I'm getting married. I want you and Connie to come to the wedding. It's just in my front yard. Come to the wedding, and I want you to be one of my friends who stands up with me. It's real informal." So we did that. So I went to another faith-based meeting. There's lots of details here. I went to another faith-based meeting, the next month's version of it, and there was an update. There was an update on investigation of homelessness in Columbiana County. And one of the things that came up at the meeting was that the mayor of East Liverpool isn't particularly excited about a facility for homelessness in his community, perhaps for understandable reasons, but that was the kind of the gist of East Liverpool was kind of the target area they were looking for, and what they said was we need an inn, we need somebody who has an inn with the mayor of East Liverpool. So back to my friend, we go to his wedding in East Liverpool. The mayor of East Liverpool marries them. We go to the reception, and Connie and I sit down. This couple invites us, hey, come sit with us. We don't have anybody else sitting here. Come sit with us. So we sit with this couple. We get up and get our food, and we come back to the table. There's another couple sitting there. I'm here, and there's this other couple sitting here, and the man right here is the mayor of East Liverpool. We have conversations for 40, 45 minutes. My first question to him was, tell me about the homeless situation in East Liverpool. And he doesn't know I'm a pastor yet. We ended up talking about media because one of my media friends was there. For those who don't know, I used to work in the media. I was a newspaper reporter for years and then editor for years. And so we ended up talking about media stuff based on my friend from the media that was there. And so he said to me at one point, we were talking for 40 minutes, and he says, so are you retired now? I said, no, I'm a pastor. I'm a senior pastor of a church. And he just went. He thought I was joking. He thought I was pulling his leg. He said, are you kidding me? Are you pulling my leg? I said, no. And he kept talking about times when he prayed. And Connie really ministered to him, you know, and just said something to him about, the Lord hears your prayers. He hears your prayers, you know. But he doesn't go to church anywhere. But we ended up having this amazing conversation. I ended up having prayer with him before we left. And the last thing he did before he left was he got out a business card and he put his phone number on it. And I said, is that for me? And he said, yeah. And I gave him my business card and he said, we need to have lunch. And only thing I could think of is, Lord, all we have to do is say yes to you. I said yes to be part of the faith-based collaborative. I say yes, and then you... And we need somebody with an inn with somebody with a mayor from East Liverpool, and then he's sitting right next to me and says, I need to have lunch with you. And we haven't had that lunch yet, but I'm telling you these things that this is not, these things are not coincidences. And this is just my life. We have a couple of hundred people represented here whose lives are all part of this. We are all part of this. So at prayer meeting on September 28th, men's prayer meeting on September 28th, Pastor Ben, and I don't remember now any of the context of what this came about, but he said, it's the momentum of the yes that's happening. The momentum of the yes that's happening. See, there's movement to this thing. And I don't want to even call it a movement because movements have beginnings and endings. You know, Pastor Shane, when he first challenged us a couple years ago about fasting and letting fasting be so part of our life because it's biblical and because it's part of God's plan and it's part of God seeing God's power at work when we make that sacrifice and when we go into fasting. And he said, one of the things Pastor Shane said was, this is not a season, this is now a lifestyle. This is not a season, this is now a lifestyle. So this is not just a movement, but there's movement to it. Holy Spirit is moving. He's moving, and he's moving in his people. We are his people. We are part of this. And then Pastor Damian Williams posted something recently this week about sort of the same thing, and Pastor Mark said the exact same thing. He said, I don't like to even call it a season. This is a realm. This is a realm that we are operating out of. There's a realm that we're operating out of, and we're living in it. And part of staying in this place of living in it is to keep saying yes. Keep saying yes. Keep saying yes. Don't worry about whatever the demands that are put on it. Lord will help meet the demand. Lord will help meet the demand. In Isaiah 26, 7 through 9 says, the path of the righteous is level. The upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of our heart. My soul yearns for you in the night, in the morning. My spirit longs for you. And you can see in these passages that yearning, that desire, that yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, walking in your way, walking in your way, walking in your way. Don't go back to any old way. Don't allow yourself to float between functioning by being seated next to Jesus and then coming back down. Stay in that place. Keep saying, yes, Lord, I want to sit by you. And just sometimes visualize yourself like, it's just me and you, Jesus. It's just me and you, Jesus. We're functioning together, and we're communicating, and you're speaking to me. You're not my buddy. You're not my pal. You're my Savior, but I'm yours. I'm yours. I belong to you. I belong to you. I don't belong to this world anymore. I don't belong to the systems of this world anymore. I belong to you. Yes. So I'm going to keep saying yes. I'm going to keep saying yes. 2 Corinthians Chapter 1, starting verse 17, says, Do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? As surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, this is Paul speaking, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. In him, it has always been yes, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you to stand firm in Christ. He's the one that does it. We just keep saying yes. We keep saying yes. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his seal on our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Do you know that as you say yes, he has put a seal on you? You are sealed. You are sealed. Now we have to keep cooperating. We have to keep cooperating. Yes. Yes. The psalmist says this, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. I will remember that. There's a yes here. There's a yes here. There's a yes, sir. There's an instruction here. There's an instruction here. It's amazing when you, I've said, just even since this word has evolved and I've been studying and studying and studying, and I've said this a lot lately anyway, the scriptures just have this life that they've always had, but for whatever reason, they just jump off the page. Yes, I'll remember your miracles of long ago. In this room today, consider miracles of long ago and know that they're not just for long ago. They're not just for long ago. They're not just for long ago. When we're sitting with Jesus in heavenly places, we have access to everything that comes from heaven because we're seated in heavenly places. And so if you need a miracle, if you need a miracle, it is not outside of your reach. Amen. Because it is not outside of Jesus' touch. Because we're not outside of Jesus' touch. So you can bring everything to the table. No matter how hard it seems. No matter how impossible it seems. Another psalm. May the favor of God, of our Lord our God, rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, yes. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And when we close this service out today, we're going to activate that. So keep that in mind. I'm going to ask you to stretch out your hands and say, establish the work of your hands, Lord. Yes. Yes. I don't know what that looks like for each one of you. Only He does. It's not going to look the same for each one of us. We all have different spheres of influence. We all have different places we live and work and recreate. But yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. Psalmist again, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. Obedience, I talked about this in class today, in open door class. Obedience is such a part of saying yes. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like the olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing of the man who fears the Lord. This is not a temporary thing. This is not just an occasional thing. This is a daily living thing. We're living in it. We're living in it. It's why when you walk in this room anymore, there's so much joy. There's so much movement. Again, it's not all about just jumping around and having a good time. We love to do that because Jesus is worthy of it all. But that's not what it's about. It's about living in this place of His presence in such a way that when we go out of here, we can still do that. When we go out of here, we this is not limited to a building. This is not limited to, we're not putting on any sort of show here. We're just receiving from Jesus and giving Him the praise back. And then when we walk out of there, we're equipped. We're equipped. We're equipped to be about what He's about. So I read this, I think Thursday, this was part of my devotional reading. And I'm gonna share it here just how it is in the scripture. Always be joyful, 1 Thessalonians. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. And so I'm reading this verse, and I read it, and I read it again, and I read it again. And then I read it like this. Always be joyful. Yes, Lord. Never stop praying. Yes, Lord. Be thankful in all circumstances. Yes, Lord. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Yes, Lord. I love the class participation. This is awesome. Do not scoff at prophecies. Yes, Lord. Sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we think, I don't know about that. And it's okay to say, I don't know about that, but test it. Yeah, next part. Test everything. Yes, that is, yeah, everything is said. Yes, Lord. Yes. Hold on to what is good.
Yes, Lord.
Stay away from every kind of evil.
Yes, Lord.
We have the gospel message presented right there. Right there. Right there. And as I did this little exercise, I want you in your devotional time this week, as you're reading, after each phrase, to consider the yes that goes with it, because that's the obedience. That's the obedience part. That's the obedience part on our end, to say, if I believe what this word says, now what do I have to do with it? What do I have to do with it? Always be joyful. Yes, Lord. But this is terrible news I just got. Yeah, but I'm still Jesus. So your joy in me isn't changed by that circumstance. I met with somebody this week who was going through some terrible stuff. Terrible stuff. No doubt, terrible stuff. No doubt. Not taking anything away from the pain and the experience of the terrible stuff. But Jesus is still on the throne. Nothing about the terrible situation takes away from the joy that we can still have in Jesus. It doesn't. I'm not talking about happiness and that I just have to be giddy about everything that happens to me. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a deep, 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 deep work that is part of establishing the work of our hands. That even in my trial, I can say, yes, Lord. Even in my trial, I can say, you are worthy of my praise. So do that this week. Do that. Be mindful of it. This is part of your assignment. Part of your assignment is you're studying. As you're studying, just write that down and say, where do I need to insert the yes, Lord? Because, again, that's your response to what the Word of God is telling us.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So I was asking Pastor Shane yesterday, I said, how long has prayer meeting at your home? How long have we been doing this? How long has that been restarted? June 6th? June 8th was the first prayer meeting. And since prayer meeting started, I think when we first started, I don't know, there may have been like 15, 17 guys, something like that. Anybody knows me, I'm a counter. I keep track. I'm a record keeper when it comes to details. That's just part of my journalism background. I take notes and I write it down. So anyway, so 15, 17 people, and then there were 21, and then there were 25, and then there were 27, and then there were 30, and 2 weeks ago there were 31, and I think there were 29. You know, he said this week, we knew Pastor Ben, Pastor Mark, Patrick Coleman, we knew they were all in D.C. and wouldn't be there. And he's thinking, there's nobody going to be here. There's going to be so fewer people here, I'm not even going to get out as many seats as I normally get. And there were still 29 people there. One of the people who was there for the very first time, and he was there for the very first time because one of our own members, one of our own people said, I'm coming to pick you up at 6 o'clock and I'm going to bring you. And I say that because this man is learning how to listen to the Lord on the spot. A couple of times this has happened in Men of Valor where a name will come up just in random conversation. And then this person will disappear from class. And as it turns out, he goes, the Holy Spirit says, go see him. Like, take class to him. And he's done that at least twice. And again, I say that because this is not, this word, this yes, Lord word is for all of us. It's for all of us. And it's there's no limits to it. There's no limits to what he's saying. We just need to keep doing. We just need to keep doing. So I said this in class today. 2 years ago, last year, at the beginning of the year, the Lord told us, invite the stranger. Invite the stranger. And for 3 weeks, we talked about what that was going to look like. What was that going to look like? And then a week or two after that third installment of that lesson, a train derails in the town next to us. And we're inundated with strangers because we become the assistant center. But we said yes. We said yes. And what's awesome is I didn't even ask you. I didn't say, hey, do you want to do this? No, the Lord said, we're called to do this. We're prepared to do this. You know, we've said that for a long, long time, for years. The Lord said, we said, the Lord's preparing us. The Lord's preparing us. The Lord's preparing us. And a couple of years ago now, at least 3-4 years ago, he said, you're prepared. You're prepared. We're not prepared for everything always, but you're prepared to open the doors and step in to the things I'm calling you to do and to be. And so he said, invite the stranger. Well, here's hundreds of them. One of them sitting right there. Yeah. Who's become part of us. Who's become part of us. And this year he said, go and tell. Go and tell. That's our word. We know that. I didn't conjure it up. I didn't say, let's see if I can think of some. No, Lord, Holy Spirit downloaded it. We said yes. And I believe as a body, we're going and telling like never before. And I'll say it again. If you're hesitating, stop hesitating. Say yes, because the harvest is ripe. The setups are already out there more than we could ever think. Somebody, a couple of people said in class today, I wonder how many opportunities we miss. So I go to prayer meeting yesterday, and then afterward, I told the guys, I said, hey, for those who may be interested in this, there's a group in Salem called Salem Walk and Pray. Salem Walk and Pray, and it's a group that second Saturday of every month, 10 o'clock, across from Timberlands, if you ever want to join us, join the group. I'd actually never gone before, and I don't know why, just some weeks I just wasn't available or I didn't think about it. But anyway, I knew I was available this week to go to Walk and Pray in Salem. And so after prayer meeting, I went home and grabbed a bite to eat, and then I went to Walk and Pray, and there was only 11 of us there. It wasn't a big group or anything. And one of the things that blew my mind was the lady that's in charge of it. First thing she said was, I keep hearing about this prayer meeting in Columbiana. And I'm like, how would you be hearing about this prayer meeting in Columbiana? We don't, it's not like we're shouting it from the mountaintops or it's in the newspaper or, but she reports about this prayer meeting in Columbiana. And I was like, well, that's awesome. You know, we're not here to be promoted or to be exalted or anything. We're just a bunch of guys getting together Saturday morning, 6 o'clock to pray. But that's the first thing she says to me. So I was like, well, that's cool. But anyway, so we go and we just actually just go around, well, I don't know, about 2 or 3 blocks. And what they'll do is you'll walk for a while and I had my Diana Mullins, Jesus is the reason for the season. I'm altered to say Jesus is the reason for all seasons sign that I'm carrying. And we're walking and we stopped periodically, we pray, and we were standing on State Street right in front of the Catholic Church, and we're praying, and across the street is a gas station, and for whatever reason, I see this car pull in, and it went kind of to the side and parked, and I see this young kid get out of the car, and he gets out, and he's just looking at us, like, what's going on over there? And pretty soon he's walking toward, you know, walking across the parking lot there, and then he crosses the street, and I knew he was coming to see us. And so he comes up, and I just motioned for him, and I said, you know, come on over. So he comes up, and I said, what's your name? And he told me his name, told me his first name, and I said his last name. And I was like, are you so-and-so's son? That's my parents. And here, when we were at the street fair this year, Columbiana Street Fair this year, we always have a little sheet there if people come up to the table. And that particular day, Marvin and Marcia were at the table, and Marcia said, hey, we wrote down a name, and it was this kid. It was this kid, the same kid that comes up to our table at the street fair in September, who's walking across the street and one that was curious about what we were doing. He ended up walking with us the rest of the way. We got to pray with him. And he said, so are you all from the same church? And I, we're all from different places. He said, that is just so cool. This is exactly what the world needs right now. And I am so glad to be part of this today. And I'm just going, Lord, how good are you? How good are you that this kid that I know his parents, his dad died last year. I know their family's going through adjustments. That you would, out of all the people that were passing by, and there were lots of horns honking, and I don't think anybody swore at us. There was lots of encouragement. But here, out of all the people, this kid that comes to our table that we've been praying for, because I always pray for people whose names, that's really the reason to write them down. We pray for them. And I knew when I saw the name, I knew it. I said, I know this kid. And I know he's got struggles and troubles. But yet he joined us. And we were all old. And here he is in his pajama pants and mismatched shirt, and he's walking with us and thanking Jesus, and because of yes, there's a momentum to the yes. There's a momentum to the yes. The yes is a product of all that he's doing. We just have to say it, and then we have to do it, and then we get back to where we end, and we're gathering in the parking lot across from Timberlands, and I see this guy walking across the parking lot with a shopping cart, and he comes rushing up to me, throws himself at me, says, it is so good to see you, Pastor Jeff. And I'm like, who are you? I think I figured it out, but I'm not exactly sure if it's who I think it is. But he said, I needed to see this today. I needed to see this today, and I'm so glad to see you. Never been there before. I've never done this before. But for whatever reason, this day, I was able to say yes. And the Lord sets up at least two divine appointments. At least two. I don't know. I mean, there's probably more than we don't even know about. People that maybe saw it and said, I'm going to go that next time. Or maybe somebody that was just encouraged by seeing.
When you say yes, it is a promise of action.
Yeah, he never disappoints. Never disappoints. Oh boy, oh my goodness. You know what's amazing to me? Nobody leaves. I mean, this has been going on for a while now where it's like, oh my goodness, it's, because it used to be like, okay, 10 after, I'm like, okay, it's time to wrap this up. I didn't even look. But we are living in a day of yes. We're living in a day of yes, and the yes is ours to say. Now, I'll be perfectly honest, you're allowed to say no. I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. Saying no to Jesus doesn't seem like a really smart option. You can say no to me, but say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. Whatever he's asking of you. And let me tell you, and I'm going to tell you this as plainly as I can. It will not be comfortable. So if you're expecting him to ask you to do something that you're only something to do that you're comfortable with, I think we're past that day. He's let us get away with that for a while. He really has. He's let us get away with, I'll just do the things that I'm comfortable with. But he's asking us to do things we're not comfortable with. So when Larry and Katie started their young adult class, Something they said yes to. Something they said yes to. One of the things that was brought up in our leadership meeting was, hey, are we going to have childcare? Are we going to have childcare at 9:30? Because we typically haven't had childcare for real little ones. We have classes, we have Sunday school classes, but we don't haven't had childcare. And so I said, we'll work on that. And I'm like, I just said we'll work on that. I guess that's going to be me. So this particular day, right after that, I was actually riding bicycles with my grandson across the street from us in the parking lot. There's a church across the street. And we were riding bikes, and the Lord's just saying, "Here's what I want. Here's how I want you to do that." And He gave me names of people, and to ask to be part of that team. And so I think I had 8 to 10 names, and 8 of the 10 said yes. The 2 that said no weren't being disobedient. They weren't, you know, they were just, they had good reasons why that wasn't going to work. But 8 of the 10 said yes. And because I thought, well, if we have at least 8, that's 2 months worth of coverage. That's 2 months worth of coverage. And then after that, 2 other couples said, we'll help with that too, because we announced it. So we ended up having 10. And the one couple that just absolutely surprised me was Ernie and Janet Kessler, who are in their 80s, and said, yes, we'll watch babies. And a couple of weeks ago, we were ministering back here to a young lady, and Chelsea was back there. Chelsea Withers, they're not here today. Jude had surgery yesterday? Yes. And so they're tending to him. But Chelsea was back there, and she's holding their baby. And she came around to minister to the person we were ministering to, and she's holding Hezekiah. And she told me this later. She said, I felt this tug, and somebody was back there taking Hezekiah from her, and turned around, it was Janet. And I talked to Janet about that, how much that meant to her. And she said, well, these young families among us they're so hungry to minister to people, but they need to be able to sometimes do this without restriction or without feeling like they're neglecting their children. And knowing Wes and Chelsea, they don't ever want to neglect their children, but she just stepped in and took Hezekiah. And again, I'm not doing this to spotlight anybody in particular. I'm just saying people are saying yes. People are saying yes. And honestly, as long as I've known Jan and Ernie, they are servants. They are servants and are servants. But to be honest, Lucy, the last thing I ever thought they'd want to do in their 80s is to watch babies. You know? But they said yes. And they did their stint last week, and they said it was awesome. So they had 3 children in there, including 2 of the very lively Withers kids.
Sorry.
Well, it's true, you know, but they said yes. They said we had a ball. We just had a ball. And again, just a simple example that there are so many ways around here for people to say yes. There's so many ways. I don't know if Lori needs any more help in the food pantry, but I'm sure, I think that's just kind of a no. but she won't turn anybody away. They do 3 shifts of it. So if you know, there's so many ways for people to serve. But more than anything, it's not even about acts of service. I'm talking about the divine appointment. Go talk to that person. Go tell your story. I've been meeting with one person who says, you know, it's dawned on me in the last month or so that I have never told some very specific stories of what Jesus has done in my life to an audience that I know would respond to it. And I said, I don't know what has held me back, but I'm going to be doing it. I'm going to be telling my story. Pastor Don, our founding pastor here, used to say over and over and over again, you have a story. Yes. You have a story. You have a story. You have a story. No one can dispute your story because it's your story. Let's stand. I realized how late it was, and I still went on. If you're willing, stretch out your hands, lift them up. Scripture says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. I'm going to ask you to say that, to do that. We know he's already done it in many of us, but he's doing it more and more and more. Yes, Lord, may the favor from heaven rest on us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. So, Father, my prayer is, as people have prayed that prayer, if people have asked that of you, I pray, Lord, that as we go out into life today, that we will know that we have hands that have been established for your work in the earth, for your work in the land, for your work in the culture, for your work wherever we go. That those in this room that are in school, that you will establish the work of their hands in their schools. I pray, Lord, as you are establishing the work of our hands, we will lay hands on sick people and they will be well. They will be well. We will, as you're establishing the work of our hands, we will lay our hand on a person who is in depression, and the depression will leave. We will lay our hand on an addict, whatever the addict, whatever the addiction is, and you will free them. You will set the captive free. As we set our hands to be about your work, new ministries will be unfolding, new opportunities to meet practical needs, to meet emotional needs, to meet spiritual needs, to meet physical needs. Because you're establishing the work of our hands. So, Lord, we go out with a great expectation that these hands will be useful this week, wherever we go. And it will have nothing to do with us, but everything to do with you. The only thing it has to do with us is our obedience. Being a willing vessel. So I pray blessing. I pray blessing on all of us in this room as we go out of here. That even today, this isn't a word for tomorrow, for just tomorrow or the next day or the next. This is a word for even today. That even today, that the work of our hands will be useful for the kingdom of God on this day. On this day, and all of it will be for your glory, Jesus. If you need need specific prayer today, there's all kinds of people in this room who will pray with you. Some of them will be down front. If you know somebody who will pray with you, go find them. Prayer can go on all over.